Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm, as expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host today on The Raw Deal. Let me begin by saying there's a wonderful letter to the editor in the Wisconsin State Journal that I want to share with you. It's so rare we get a good one. This is it. Democrats today are unelectable. For many good reasons, I cannot vote for candidates of the Democrat Party anymore. Let me count the ways. Realize this is coming from someone who was once a yellow dog Democrat. Remember that phrase originated. He'd vote even for a yellow dog if they ran as a Democrat. The Democrats promote the censorship of free speech and are intolerant of traditional values. Wish to disarm law-abiding citizens who want to gut the Second Amendment. Want to allow millions of illegal immigrants, including drug lords and terrorists, to invade our southern border. Support abortion until birth, which is clearly infanticide. Are soft on crime, wishing to punish only those who don't share their twisted ideology. Are determined to stack the U.S. Supreme Court and the Senate filibuster and persecute any Christian who's out of step with their agenda. And that's just for starters. How can anyone vote for this party? Not me. Timothy Rookie from Middleton. Middleton, many of you may know, has frequently been voted to be the most livable city in the United States, the most accommodating city in the United States. So he's representing what has to be a very widely held opinion now. So I'm quite struck that we have a letter from this fellow from Middleton, and even that it would be published in the Wisconsin State Journal. I cannot tell you how many times the Wisconsin State Journal has declined to publish letters to the editor submitted by yours truly. Now, this Alex Jones business has been monstrous. I mean, it's been absurd legally. It's been absurd politically, except that that was the purpose. There's no suitable basis for what's been going on other than here as pure propaganda, as an ability to manipulate the public. And just in case we didn't get the message, we have the BBC publishing a piece, Alex Jones and the Believers in Conspiracy Theories. This is for those of us who didn't get the message. And here they quote Alex Jones. The money you donate does not go to these people. It goes to fight this fraud. Nice photo of Alex. Those were the words of conspiracy theorist Alex Jones broadcasting live from his studio as a court in Connecticut ordered him to pay $965 million, nearly $1 billion in damages, for pushing the false theory that the 2012 Sandy Hook school shooting was a hoax. Now, stop and think about it. $1 billion for having an opinion? I mean, this is just preposterous on its face. I mean, this is so ridiculous. And what the hell's happened to the First Amendment? I thought what was so great about the United States was you could say any damn thing you wanted and you wouldn't be punished or penalized for $1 billion for an opinion. God. And of course, not only that, but Alex unfortunately folded. I was willing to come to his aid. It was no hoax. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Not only do we have the manual, which I published in the book, we now have further confirmation in the form of the schedule. It was right on the schedule for Connecticut FEMA. They even had a map showing how to get back and forth from their offices in Bridgeport, Connecticut, to 12 Dickinson Drive. On their form, it was misspelled with an E instead of an I. But they had it right on their schedule for the Sandy Hook exercise. And I've had confirmation, the guy identified in the manual, Tom Romano, Thomas Romano, was actually the one who was in Newtown, was running the drill at the time. This is just ridiculous. So why in the world did not Norm Pattis, with whom I was in contact, I actually volunteered to be an expert witness for Norm Pattis. I sent him some evidence, proof that it was a hoax that is not generally available. Why did Alex Jones say when he did his video deposition in Connecticut that he never even read Nobody Died at Sandy Hook? I mean, how serious can he be about it when he won't read or hasn't read the one book that makes a real difference, that it objectively dissects what happened, where we established that the school had been closed by 2008, that there were no students there, and that was a FEMA drill, which is also substantiated by the FBI Consolidated Crime Report for 2012, which shows in the category of murder and non-negligent manslaughters for Newtown, of which Sandy Hook is a subdivision, zero. And the failure of the final report by Stephen Sadinsky III to establish a causal nexus connecting the alleged shooter, Adam Lanza, whom I'm convinced is a fiction, with his alleged victims, including his mother, Nancy, also, in my opinion, a fiction, and the 20 kids and 6 adults he's supposed to have killed at Sandy Hook, all fabricated, all made up. Every aspect of this is phony as it could possibly be. We have proof after proof after proof. So why didn't they want to have this in evidence? Why didn't they want to bring me in? Of course, now, they had to do that earlier on. They had to do that during the liability trial, though you could have brought me in to explain why he had a reasonable belief that it was a hoax. Even if the jurors or the judge had decided that it had been real, and a friend of mine's made the observation, it's taken me a while to appreciate, there's the law, and then there's truth, and the law and truth do not always converge. I mean, it's stunning. The law on one side and the truth on the other, and when do they meet? Embarrassingly bad. But even in mitigation, I could have introduced a massive evidence that would have shown that any reasonable person looking at this evidence could reasonably have concluded that it had been a hoax and that he would not have been malicious. He would have been sincere I'm even wondering whether they granted his status as a journalist, for crying out loud. I'm telling you, I've learned this. So many ways you can be screwed in the law. And believe me, I've been subjected to, if there are more than those to which I've been subjected, I'm going to be surprised. It's just astonishing. I'm not done yet, by the way. I'll explain that as by and by. But the fact is, Alex Jones should never have been convicted $1 billion for having an opinion. This is just ridiculous. There's nothing about the First Amendment, by the way, that says you're only supposed to say things that don't hurt other people's feelings. And by the way, you know, we called them crisis actors. Well, it was a crisis, and the people who were participating were acting. So even if you wouldn't think these so-called family members, where the families were all synthetic, they were put together just for the occasion. This whole event was years in the planning. They were crisis actors. I mean, there's just no way around it. Some of them have made crisis acting appearances in other locales, in other events. The article that's telling us the whole point of all this, what we're supposed to learn from it, continues. These people he refers to are the parents of the victims of that shooting, one of whom you can see in tears on a screen in Jones' live stream. Well, they're actors. They're faking the tears. I mean, Robbie Parker was one of the most gross examples. Robbie Parker comes out of the building, and he's all smiling and cordial and jocular. And then he looks and sees the assembled reporters, and he pauses to get into character. He hyperventilates and get into character. And then he begins talking about the loss of his daughter, Emily, with a presence of mind to remember to mention her donation website. These people made up massively. My God. By my calculation, from the sources I have, anywhere between $27 and $130 million donated by sympathetic but gullible Americans in the false belief they'd actually lost kids. And then you had this, another 50 mil from the first trial, which was completely absurd. You had this Neil Heslin and Scarlett Lewis suing Alex Jones. But Neil Heslin claimed, I mean, this is for what he is known, that he held his dying son Jesse in his arms, when that's impossible, if what the medical examiner Wayne Carver told us, because Wayne said during his famous press conference, very analytically dissected by James Tracy, you got the boot from Florida Atlantic as a consequence of doing serious research on his own personal blog, if you can believe. Where Wayne Carver's press conference was anomalous in so many different ways, and where he mentioned by way in passing, he hoped this didn't come crashing down on the good people of Newtown. Well, why should it come crashing down? What would there to become crashing down? Except that it was all a fraud. It was all a scheme. It was all theater, pure theater. But he mentioned specifically in relation to Neil Heslin that the parents weren't allowed to have contact with their children. Well, the parents weren't allowed to have contact with their children, but they were only identified using photographs, which, as I've observed before, was very appropriate because most of them, or many, only existed in the form of photographs. Others had fake names. I've demonstrated how Noah Posner was actually created out of photographs of the person supposed to be his older stepbrother, Michael Vabner, when he was a child. We have Lenny Urbana, who's supposed to be a Richardson, singing at the Super Bowl. I mean, it's clear she has this very distinctive birthmark across her forehead. That's the same kid singing at the Super Bowl. I mean, it goes on and on and on. It's just ridiculous. Mona Alexis Presley has even discovered reason to believe some of the parents used photographs of themselves when they were children to be the decedent since Sandy Hook. I mean, how cynical can you get? The article continues. They've taken Jones to court after the online abuse they received following the conspiracies he promoted on the InfoWeb website and talk show. I don't see how that's even possible. But most of these people don't even exist under the names that they were known in relation to the San Diego Fan. Most of them don't even exist under those names. So you would have had a hell of a hard time tracking them down. And nobody I know in the research field would do anything like any harassment. My God, that would be stupid, pointless, counterproductive. The split screen on his live stream is a stark moment where the conspiracy world he's created comes up against reality. Well, is this trial supposed to be reality? I mean, what a joke, what a farce. Robert Barnes was in there during the first trial and observed three different cameras. He said it didn't look like any ordinary courtroom to him whatsoever. And then he thought it was a made-for-TV movie. Well, he nailed it. We're going to get all this. We're going to get a made-for-movie TV movie. There's no doubt about it. Never have his words sounded colder when contrasted with the emotion of grieving families. They've had to deal with the loss of their children without the center of this disinformation campaign. Well, look, it's 10 years. I mean, how long are you going to cry, right? We've all had the loss of loved ones, people we cared about. You don't cry about it for 10 years. This is a thing they're turning on and off like a spigot. This is totally fake, totally for the cameras. This marks a moment of reckoning. Jones has never been handed damages of this scale before, nor has any other conspiracy theorist, and it sets a huge precedent. This is what we're supposed to bear in mind. It sets a huge precedent. The question everyone is asking now, I'm not asking it. The question everyone is asking now, will this put an end to these kinds of conspiracies and the harm that they can cause? That's what the Sandy Hook parents hope. Now think about it. These kinds of conspiracies. Notice the mistake there. They're not talking about conspiracy. I mean, the Sandy Hook was a conspiracy. You had a bunch of people engaging in a deceptive act to defraud the public and to promote the political agenda of the Obama administration. That was all about. We had other of these staged events. We've had them again and again and again. Boston bombing, Orlando and Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, back in the air now because Nick Cruz, who was actually walking off campus with a friend while shooting was still going on, is being, you know, uses the patsy there to hang their hat. It's just ridiculous. Just a few words about a couple of these. I mean, in case you have any doubt, if you haven't checked out my How to Spot a False Flag, Part 1, Part 2, or in the extended version, How to Spot a False Flag, Part 1 through Part 4 with Dr. Catherine Horton, who's quite a brilliant particle physicist with a PhD from Oxford, who has led the legal fight against the use of electromagnetic devices to target people. They're called targeted individuals who harass them, of which she's been a target, massive hit. She's been brilliant in her work on this. Well, we did a four-part version where Catherine offered a lot of observation, astute, very parallel to when I interviewed Major General Albert Stubblebine, who is in charge of U.S. military signals and photographic intelligence, about my research on the crash sites of Sandy Hook, where two of the planes, Flight 11 North Tower and Flight 77 Pentagon, were not even in the air that day, and where the other two, Flight 93 Shanksville and 175 South Tower, were still in the air after they'd allegedly crashed in Pennsylvania or hit the South Tower, and where, in fact, the airplane, the physical aircraft used for those two different flights, weren't even formally taken out of service until 28 September 2005, raising the question, how can planes that weren't even in the air have crashed on 9/11? And how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? Another monstrous fraud. In Islamic terrorists were pure patsies. They had nothing to do with it. Osama bin Laden worked for the U.S. government. He was CIA. He was instrumental against Stinger missiles to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. They used to shoot down the Soviet helicopters and planes. He was Colonel Tim Osman. An executive, an official from the agency, visited him in a hospital in Dubai shortly before his death from his medical maladies in Afghanistan. But Barack Obama found it politically expedient to resurrect him and have him die a second time in a stage raid on a compound so he could position himself for a triumphal re-election as the man who got the most modern man in the world. It's all bullshit. I mean, I can't believe how much of recent American history is nothing but bullshit. It's fabricated. Sandy Hook, Boston bombing. Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities. There are cops there on bullhorn saying, this is a drill. This is a drill. You know this. Orlando, the permit for the Pulse Club had expired 3 years before. That's when they repainted it from white to black to show it was closed. It wasn't even open. My God. So, the question is, will this put an end to the kinds of conspiracies? Well, the U.S. government is running the conspiracies. The conspiracy theorists are just trying to figure out what's going on. So what they're really saying is, will you stop thinking? Will you stop challenging? Will you stop questioning official government accounts, even if it's as harebrained as that a lone gunman killed JFK or the 19 Islamic terrorists attacked us on 9/11 or that Adam Lanza killed 20 kids and 6 adults at Sandy Hook or that 2 young men, Muslims, perpetrated the mosque and marathon bombing when the backpacks don't even match. I mean, I'm telling you, the whole thing is so ridiculous. So I should be talking about, would this put this end to kind of conspiracy theorizing? And remember, theorizing is really thinking. Theorizing is contemplating the alternatives. Theorizing is trying to think things through. Theorizing is trying to figure out if any of this makes any sense. Theorizing is trying to determine whether this is nothing but a pile of steaming horseshit. And more often than not, it turns out what the government is telling us is exactly that. A pile of steaming horseshit. When it comes to Alex Jones himself, they continue, a former insider who worked at InfoWars tells me he thinks this could be the beginning of the end. He'll struggle to continue if he does have to pay these damages. Jones' live stream during the court hearing is very revealing of the approach he plans to take in the coming weeks. After her comments about donations, he says they want to shut us down. He's already attempting to claim this verdict is just more proof the state is trying to stop him telling the truth. The three families who were in court know all too well that what he's doing is far from that. Actually, Alex Jones, well, he won't talk about Israel and its role in 9/11, for example, which is something for which I fault him, does a pretty good job of stirring up the pot, getting people interested in issues, drawing attention to cases that don't add up, including all of the above, don't add up. My God, when he organized the American Scholars Conference in Los Angeles in 2006, Alex Jones invited me, the founder of Scholars for 9/11 Truth, to be the keynote speaker. He even named his conference the American Scholars Conference. I think that was indeed an acknowledgement of the success the society I founded in December 2005 had in bringing together hundreds of experts from all around the world into a loose affiliation, a society with a website where we can promote lectures, books, events, posts, videos, blah, blah, blah. You can find the remnants of the website at 911scholars.org, in our discussion forum at 911scholars.ning.com, where the taking of my blog has been, it's destroyed links, so that, it was part of the taking order, just when the Alex Jones trial was about to start trashing Jim Fetzer and Sophia Smallstorm and Wolfgang Helbig and James Tracy. He's right, of course. Obviously, they're trying to shut him down. The problem, it says, is that Alex Jones' audience isn't his families. Well, sure as hell isn't, because they're a bunch of crisis actors. Polling from the Journal of Social and Political Psychology suggests almost 20% of Americans believe high-profile mass shootings have been staged, usually by the government. The survey was carried out in 2020, but there's no reason to believe that figure would be any less if carried out today. I hope it's a hell of a lot larger. Because everyone I've investigated has turned out to be phony, fraud, fake, including Las Vegas, including Buffalo, including Uvalde. They're all fake. They're all staged. They're all ridiculous once you dig into them. People who often start with legitimate questions are drawn into these social media worlds that offer definitive answers to great uncertainty and horrific events. They make up a captive audience for the outspoken proponents of conspiracy theories. Well, these are just people trying to figure out what the hell is going on. They know enough about the U.S. government to know it lies to us all the time. And as James Files observed to me, once a government commits itself to a lie, it's stuck with it. It's locked in. It will never change. So even though we know a dozen or more of these 9/11 terrorists made contact with the British press the following day, they turned up alive and well. The FBI's never revised its list of the original 19, even though it's known to be false. This is the very first part David Rafe Griffin makes in his magisterial book, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions. They don't even have the list of hijackers. They're publishing provably false claims about the hijackers. And, of course, since they're claiming all four of the crash sites were legit, when none of them were legit, as even Major General Stubblebine confirmed when we did our interview together, where he, like Catherine Horton, added additional reasons why I was right. You can see how far it goes. Telling the truth in America is a hazardous occupation. And this isn't limited to the United States. Conspiracy theories about hoaxes and crisis actor turbocharged by Jones have gone global. Their tentacles has reached as far as the UK. Indeed, I have a wonderful colleague, Nick Kohlerstrom, in the UK, about whom more when we return from this break.
We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern
Time. It is, Mary. I'm sorry to say I'm on the air. Can I get it? Is this about 37 for my scalp?
Sam Garcia at freedomslips.com.
Okay, I'll check it out. Thanks, Mary. Bye-bye.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, my dear friend Nick Kohlstrom in the UK, by the way, is a leading expert on the London 7-7 subway bombings. You want to talk about conspiracy theories? A fellow named Peter Powers actually planned a training drill on exactly the same tube stops in exactly the times that were scheduled for fake explosives. Real explosive took place. Nick blew the cover of the whole thing. It was being blamed on young Muslim lads. Surprise, surprise. Who were supposed to have been present at the stations at the time. Apparently, they'd been induced to participate in the drill. But the fact is that train from Luton that day had been canceled, and they could not possibly have been at the station. When they figured out what was going on, they tried to make their way to Canary Park, where, in fact, the international media are located to tell their story, but the bobbies shot them dead. I mean, it's just stunning. Well, Nick's done other work. He's got a book about conspiracies in Europe where he has a baker's dozen 13. Interesting, because Mary Maxwell has 13 points about Sandy Hook I'm going to be sharing. He's got 13 different conspiracies going on, you know, means staged events. We're talking about false flag stage event. Conspiracies are as American as apple pie. It's the most widely prosecuted crime in America. Conspiracy to A, B, C, D. Most American conspiracies are economic. Don't let anyone tell you conspiracy theorizing is nonsensical. You got to get into specifics. Is it a nonsensical conspiracy theory to speculate that other than Lee Harvey Oswald were involved in the shooting of the 35th president of the United States? I mean, especially if you learn that Lee Oswald was actually on the doorway, on the steps of the book depository when the motorcade passed by. So therefore, Lee Oswald not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, but he cannot have been one of the multiple shooters where we've actually identified eight. Now, is that harebrained? I got four books where I bring together experts. What do you think? We don't know what we're talking about. I bring together the best experts. This is what I do. I pioneer collaborative research by bringing together groups of experts to sort these things out and figure out which end is up. I mean, was it harebrained for Americans who were glued to their television that afternoon and learned about two shots, one to the throat, a small clean puncture wound, and a second to the right temple, which was even announced by Malcolm Kilduff, the acting press secretary, that it was a simple matter of a bullet right through the head pointing to his right temple, and attributing that finding to Admiral George Berkeley, who was a present personal physician? Is that a conspiracy theory? You can find it if you go back, for the live coverage of the assassination. It went on for hours and hours and hours. Americans were glued to their TV. This was the event that made television indispensable in every living room in the United States. As soon as you get specific, all these denunciations of conspiracy theorists fall apart. I mean, look at what I've already given you about 9/11. Ridiculous. Turns out, A.K. Dewdney, who's a professor of computer science from Western Ontario, took three different types of cell phones and took several flights and discovered it speeds over 200 miles an hour and altitudes above 2,000 feet. You can't maintain a cell phone connection because the relay towers can't switch the connection fast enough. So that all the reports we had of alleged cell phone calls from passengers were fabrications. In fact, many have found internal clues to the conversation themselves that they were fake, that they weren't made from aircraft, which Dewdney showed not even possible. Is that conspiracy theorizing? Well, yes, it is. Is it wrong? No, it's not. You have to go through a stage of theorizing, of speculation, conjecture, in order to figure out what are the reasonable the alternatives that deserve to be investigated. They want to cut that off. This is where Alex Jones has been preeminent. He's been really good at bringing attention to events that don't add up. And at speculating about what might be going on, actually, he didn't spend a whole lot of time on Sandy Hook. In fact, he told reporters repeatedly, "I'm not the Sandy Hook guy." And personally, I have no doubt who he meant by the Sandy Hook guy. The guy who published, who brought together 13 experts and published his book, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook. Why the hell aren't the reporters tracking him down and asking him for his opinion about the Alex Jones case or whether anybody died at Sandy Hook? No, because he has evidence, because he has facts. Because he has experts on his side. No, better go with Alex Jones. Alex Jones is a great talker. He's not really much in the way of marshaling evidence. He's not what I'd call a serious thinker, though, I mean, he does at a certain level a very good job of stirring up the pot. I like that. That's indispensable. He's good at the first two of the four stages of scientific reasoning, of thinking things through, puzzlement, inviting, situation or puzzling, speculation, talking about alternative points of view, what different theories might fit the evidence. But he's not so good at sorting out the fabricated from the real evidence, which turns out to be indispensable in the case of JFK, for example. We discovered the autopsy x-rays had been altered to conceal a fist-sized blowout at the back of the head, that someone else's brain had been substituted for the brain of JFK, that the whole movies, including the Zapruder, had been massively edited. Can you believe? The extant version runs 487. The original would have run 1,000 frames. So more than half of the original whole movie of the assassination, taken ostensibly by Abraham Zapruder, is missing, and what we have left has been massively revised and edited. Merging two different shots, one to the back of the head where Jack slumped forward, then Jack eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit the right temple, by the bullet that blew his brains out the back of his head, and then he just slumped to the left as Jackie climbed out the back of the vehicle to, after a chunk of his skull and brains. I mean, give us a break. Is that conspiracy theorizing? Is that something we shouldn't talk about because the government says no, 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 it was Lee Oswald with three shots from above and behind? When everyone who was glued to his television that day learned about two shots, both of which were fired from in front, a shot to the throat, which actually passed through the windshield. We had bystanders there at Parkland. One, a cop who actually stuck a pencil through the hole. And then you have the president's personal physician, the acting press secretary, reporting the simple matter of a bullet right through the head that rendered approximately the right temple, both fired from in front. I mean, this is so insulting. Nick Coulson, by the way, terrific guy. He's going to be speaking at what I'm making an annual event, my False Flags and Conspiracies event. I had False Flags and Conspiracy 2020, False Flags and Conspiracy 2021, and now False Flags and Conspiracies 2022. It'll be held on the 3rd and the 4th of December, and we're going to broadcast live. Okay, mark your calendar, 3, 4 December, broadcast live, False Flags and Conspiracy Conference 2022. I've already got 24 presentations lined up. I'm sorting it out and arranging the schedule. You'll be hearing a lot more about it. But, I mean, Nick Coulstrom, who's just a sensational guy, is going to actually speak not just once but twice. He's excellent. Mark your calendar. More to come. The article continues. The jury's out on whether the huge damages that Jonah's been ordered to pay will deter others promoting disinformation or damaging conspiracies. Which ones are the damaging? And also talking about conspiracies when it shouldn't be talking about conspiracy theories or ideas or thoughts. Promoting disinformation. How did they help? Did they know? Is it disinformation to say that Lee Oswald didn't shoot JFK? It certainly contradicts the official government narrative. Is that therefore disinformation? Is it disinformation to say 14 Islamic terrorists didn't crash four planes on 9/11? Is that disinformation? Who the hell would they know? It turns out most of the fact checkers, by the way, on all the medical issues, the pandemic and the facts were paid for by Big Pharma. Yeah, think about it. The fact checkers checking the facts about the vax were paid for by Pfizer. I mean, it's just absurd what's going on here and the way the American people are being played because they're afraid we'll think things through for ourselves and realize the government is lying to us again and again and again. The article continues. For the Sandy Hook families and others I've interviewed who have been targeted by disinformation and hate, which is the disinformation, by the way, and which is the hate? I think there's a certain degree of contempt many people who are no aware of what goes on as a habit here, but it's very complex. I'm convinced participants in the event have very mixed feelings about the whole thing, that it's warped their lives massively. They never anticipated it was going to play out this way. Some were even unwilling participants in the whole event. It's a sham. It's a total, complete sham. And the people here in these courts who are sobbing are among the worst. They're playing it for the money, believe me. For them, the huge sum of money in this trial symbolizes a turning point. Many have told me how they feel let down by social media sites and policymakers. They often tell me how they feel like no one cares. No one cares? What was that 27 to 130 mil that they got way back when? Nobody cares? This is a huge story. It's got coverage like no other event in American history of late. I mean, Jesus. No one cares? Now it seems they're turning to the courts to seek justice, and the message sent from this jury to those victims is loud and clear. Pandora's box of conspiracies is wide open and is very hard to close. At the very least, it shows a tide may be starting to turn. Well, if we'd had actual honest juries, it might have made a difference. honest-to-God trials, none of these cases have been decided on the merits. In none of these cases was there any determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook, much less who did it or what weapon they used to accomplish the feat. In none of them. I sought to intervene in all three of the Alex Jones trials for damages and in the Remington case. And what astonished me was not that the parents, the plaintiffs, wouldn't want me to intervene. It was that the defendants didn't want me to intervene either. When what I was pointing out was that there's never been a judicial determination that anybody died at Sandy Hook, and the weight of the evidence overwhelmingly supports that it was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder where nobody died. No surge of EMTs into the building, no string of ambulances to rush the little bodies, no medevac chopper called, no buses for evacuation of the children, triage tarps put out, no bodies dead or alive put on the triage tarps. We got the FEMA manual, sign everyone must check in, pizza, bottle water, porta potties in place, name tags on lanyards, parents bringing children to the scene. This was a FEMA drill. And the news people were there in advance. They were there before the event to make sure they get the scoop on the story, get the right impression out from the beginning, like the Harley guy on 9/11, when everyone was scratching their heads about what the hell had happened here with the Twin Towers, which had been demolished. And he rushes up and said, wow, he said, it must have been the intense heat from the jet fuel that caused the steel to weaken and melt, and then the top floors start coming down and brought down the others with them. And everyone thought, wow, but it wasn't even physically possible. Those buildings were built with a safety factor of 20. John Skilling was among the engineers. It wasn't even possible for them to collapse. If there had been any kind of collapse, it would have been gradual sagging. The temperatures never got high enough to weaken the steel, much less melt the steel. It was all ridiculous. But there you had the Harley guy right there, Johnny on the spot. There you had the media right there, Johnny on the spot. They were already in Newtown covering the story. Here's an angle. Some have wondered, what in the world is this FBI guy? Get this. Reported Durham investigator. This is, you want to have your suspicions raised, you're going to love this. Reported Durham investigator, ex-FBI agent, awarded $90 million in Alex Jones' verdict. Yep, you got it right. A retired FBI agent who is reportedly the lead investigator for Special Counsel John Durham was awarded $90 million as part of the near billion-dollar verdict against Alex Jones for his phony claims that the Sandy Hook massacre was a hoax. William Oldenburg, who was an FBI agent, responded to the December 14, 2012 shooting at a Connecticut elementary school and testified at the Connecticut trial to determine how much Jones must pay in damages. And remember, all these trials were just for damages because he'd already been found to be guilty of defamation by default or by stipulation or by presumption. One of the government's witnesses in the trial, he told the jury, was hurt by Jones' claim in the shooting in which 20 first graders and 6 educators was killed was a hoax perpetrated by Christ. He's an FBI agent and he's hurt by someone speculating that it wasn't the way the government told us? What kind of an FBI agent is that? No, sir. An emotional Oldenburg testified when attorney Christopher Mattei, who represented families of victims, asked if there were any actors at his school. No, it's awful, awful. Well, they were all actors. They were all actors. My God, here we got him listed. This is from The Last Refuge tweeted, the second name from the bottom, Bill Oldenburg, with John Durham's lead FBI investigator. This is going to shake your confidence in Durham. Jones later acknowledged the mass shooting by a 20-year-old mentally disturbed man had occurred. That was a blunder. The shooter killed himself and his mother on the same day of the massacre. Oldenburg and the families of 8 victims were awarded a total of 965 million Wednesday by a jury in Connecticut. The verdict was the second against InfoWars founder Jones, following a ruling from a separate jury in Texas ordering Jones to pay $4.1 million in compensatory and $45.2 million in punitive damages, an amount that may soon be reduced to the state laws capping the amount of damages. The Connecticut case involved 15 plaintiffs, including parents who lost children in the shooting, and Aldenburg, a third case brought in Texas, where Jones' company Free Speech Systems is based, is yet to be scheduled. Jones has filed for bankruptcy and says he doesn't have the money to pay any of the awards. Aldenburg has been identified as the lead investigator for Durham, the former U.S. attorney for Connecticut, who was appointed by former Attorney General William Barr to investigate how an actual hoax, Trump-Russia collusion, originated. Durham's team is currently prosecuting Igor Danchenko, a key subsource for the discredited Steele dossier, for allegedly lying to the FBI. Few details are publicly known about the makeup of Durham's team, but the conservative Treehouse, an influential blog run by a conservative sleuth known as Sundance, identified Allenberg as Durham's key man in 2020 and met with him the same day. It's unknown if Allenberg is still on the team. "How did you find me?" Allenberg allegedly asked when they sat down to discuss the Trump-Russia collusion case. Well, of course, that was a monster scheme. And yet, how many years do we have the Democrats denying that it was a fraud, that it was a hoax, that they were insisting Russiagate was real? So you can't have it both ways. Either Russiagate was real or Russiagate was fake. And if Russiagate was real, and the conspiracy theorists were wrong. But if Russiagate was false, then the conspiracy theorist was right. So how the hell are you in a position to know which is which? What's fascinating about this Allenberg guy, and if you've seen his photograph, you may well know whereof I speak, namely that David Wheeler, you know, two of the beneficiaries here with these massive sums of money were David Wheeler and his wife Francine. Now, let me tell you a little bit about David Wheeler and Francine. They both have acting credits. You can actually look them up. They both have acting credits. They're both not just crisis actors. They're both actors. Francine Wheeler was a personal assistant to Maureen White, who was the biggest fundraiser for the Democratic Party at the time. This was a Democrat op. This was Obama, Biden, Holden, Eric Holder pulling off this stunt at Sandy Hook. Mark my words. And David Wheeler played two different roles. He was not only the grieving father, but he played the role of an FBI guy dressed in a SWAT outfit walking up and down Dickinson Drive, except he was carrying an AR-15 upside down by the magazine. Now, the lowest-ranking private in the Marine Corps, where I used to supervise recruit training with 15 DIs and 300 recruits under my command, would not carry a weapon upside down by the magazine. Magazines are designed to be easily inserted and removed. Carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine, the weapon's going to fall, possibly be damaged. I mean, it's stupid. Dumb. And yet you had this guy, David Wheeler, walking up and down Dickinson Drive carrying the weapon upside down by the magazine. Why? Because he doesn't know anything about weapons. He was playing a role like other roles he's played. Well, guess what? He was called out. PK, for example. Others did videos of the sloppy sniper of David Wheeler walking up and down, and they nailed him. Wolfgang Helbig's been intense about it. What did they do to deflect criticism? They said no, they were mistaking Wheeler for an FBI agent whose name just happened to be Aldenburg. Just happened to be William Aldenburg, who does bear a certain superficial resemblance to David Wheeler. But I guarantee you, the guy in the SWAT outfit was not Aldenburg, who, knowing weapons, wouldn't be carrying a weapon upside down by the magazine. Plus, David Wheeler has a mole on his left cheek that was true of the sloppy sniper, but is not true of Bill Aldenburg. So what's going on here with Aldenburg getting 19 mil? Well, Aldenburg's, of course, obviously in a position to blow the whole thing open. I'd regard this as a payoff. hush money. $19 million. How about that? $19 million. That's how it looks to me. And if we still have the right to express opinions, well, I've got a lot of opinions about Sandy Hook. And this Altenburg guy is one more POS. And they're all just playing the country. I mean, the whole idea, since maybe we weren't going to get it, was that if you actually try to think through these events, if they don't add up, but you try to figure out what's going on, if you actually express opinions contrary to the official narratives, whether it's about JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, Uvalde, Buffalo, you name it, you're liable to be dragged into court. And Leonard Posner, who is the legal fiction who sued me on his blog site, was asked about the suit he had with Wolfgang Halbig, where he withdrew. And Wolfgang prevailed. He was asked, well, didn't you lose that one? He said, well, no, not really, because he got Wolfgang to take down his blog, which was the idea. Plus, he was hauled into court and had to spend a lot of money. And that's what they do. These are called slap suits, S-L-A-P-P, strategic lawsuits against public participation. Punish those who expose secrets the government doesn't want the public to know. Punish them, drag them into court. He's already taken my blog and the book. And by the way, I do think there's a difference between the Leonard Posner, who is the legal fiction they're using for these actions, and the Reuben Fabner, who's a guy who has from time to time been called upon to play the role in person, since he's coming to Madison to testify under oath under the name of Leonard Posner. When I sought to share the image, I was held in contempt of court, even though the image of Leonard Posner has been broadcast millions of times around the world. What reason could there be to preserve it, protect it now, unless it wasn't the same guy?
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of a library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior
or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Amazon banned my book so you wouldn't learn what really happened at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control. Then they sued to shut me up, and the Wisconsin courts played along. I have the proof and the law on my side. What I don't have is the money. They want to do to us what they've already done to Canada. Take guns, impose tyranny. It's on the way with Remington's help. First insurance, then registration, then confiscation. I'm asking SCOTUS to stop it. GiveSendGo.com, funding Fetzer. Check it out. This is for all the marbles.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Bottom line is that the government doesn't want you to think. They want you to be passive receptors of information and to be grateful for whatever the government tells you and just to take it as true, regardless of its lack of plausibility. A lone gunman shot JFK really in public in Dallas in front of 100 of spectators? How'd he get away with it? 19 Islamic who couldn't even fly planes were able to negotiate this complicated attack and destroy the World Trade Center. This 6-foot-tall, 110-pound string bean of a kid was able to haul 35 pounds of gear into Sandy Hook Elementary and shoot up all these kids and adults with a phenomenal kill ratio that even a marksman couldn't have accomplished when he had no previous training with weapons that the ATF guy on the scene said, so far as he could determine, neither he nor his mother had ever even been to a rifle range. I mean, there's so much bullshit out there, and they don't want you to. This Alex Jones thing is supposed to be telling you a monumental signal. Don't open your mouth. Just take whatever you're told and believe it. Stupid. Mary Maxwell is delightful. She has both a PhD and an LLB. She's just published a new piece, 13 Reasons Why I Reject the Official Sandy Hook Story. I've just published it on my blog, jamesfetzer.org. JamesHFetzer.org. Remember, they've taken jamesfetzer.org. If you go to jamesfetzer.org, you'll see some documents there about the taking of my blog and my book. You won't get access to what you need, including this vast repository of information about Sandy Hook at jameshfetzer.org. Just published, Mary Maxwell, 13 Reasons Why I Reject the Official Sandy Hook Story. What's especially interesting about Mary, I think, is that she began believing the official narrative. Took her a while to sort it out. Not only would she believe the official narrative, but because she's got a background in the law, she's going to pick up aspects of this that others might miss. Here's what she has to say with my commentary. In 2014, a so-called terrorist event occurred in Australia. I happened to get involved in investigating and found that it was set up by government. The terrorist, a Muslim Natch, went through his paces that day, holding a dozen or more people hostage in a cafe right smack dab in Sydney's business district. At the end, he, man Heron Moniz, reportedly shot a hostage dead and then was killed by police. A young mother hostage died from ricochet of police bullets. Eventually, I sent to the New South Wales coroner, Judge Michael Barnes, a list of 99 problems that I had in accepting the evidence. No reply. Last year, 2021, I got involved in investigating the December 14, 2012 Sandy Hook massacre of 20 first graders and 6 teachers in Connecticut. I definitely haven't come up with 99 reasons to disbelieve the official story, but I can present you with 13 reasons for concluding that such a massacre never took place, 3 that are insurmountable, and 10 that I hope you'll find persuasive. Well, you've probably heard me say before, I believe there are 100 different avenues to prove that Sandy Hook was a hoax. You can find in my book. It's not available for sale now, but when Amazon banned it back in 2015, I released it for free as a PDF. If you're resourceful, you may very well be able to track it down. The big 3. Each of these 3 items claims to be evidence of the massacre, yet each is very faulty. First, there's a famous photo of several children in a school parking lot crying and walking in a single file under the direction of a policewoman. It's alleged to have been taken on December 14, 2012. How can I be sure this isn't genuine? Because another person took a picture of the same scene, but far enough back to capture additional people in the picture, adults who are themselves calmly watching the policewoman guide the children. These adults could not have been standing so casually if they had heard that a shooter had just killed children, the purported reason for a policewoman being there. The authorities never respond to complaints that the picture is a deception. In other matters, they come up with some sort of brush-off, but they know this one is an unanswerable note. The photo was probably taken earlier that year when there was a drill going on. Well, Shannon Hicks, who took the string of kids, which was published worldwide, has not only acknowledged taking that photograph, but also the second, with all the parents present, which she took minutes earlier. She claims to have taken both, and I do believe they were taken on the same occasion. I don't see any snow on the ground. I soon see trees, some without any leaves, a few evergreens. Take a look. I've got the photograph at the top of the blog. But it's clearly the Sandy Hook parking lot. And it's clearly parents present, and they're clearly unconcerned, casually looking on, while a policewoman, by my account, rearranges the kid to get a better shot. Second, that same policewoman, Rachel Von Ness, signed the report under oath that she had helped the kids being evacuated from the school. She made absurd statements about walking behind the line of kids instead of leading the line. She also said, to keep any of the parents from pulling their children from the line, this detective, that is herself, Officer Van Ness, ran back across the lot and received the next group of children. Surely, when a children has taken place, all parents would desperately grab their kid. There'd be no point in asking them to forego that. Note, I think Van Ness wrote that report as part of a drill. Even so, it appears to me to be perjury. Well, I think she's worried that we have what appear to be 2 different lines of kids, so how can she account for it? And she wrote this in haste to make up for it. There were a lot of glitches here during the drill. They'd never done this before. Even though years of planning went into it, they still didn't carry it off without major flaws. Among them, this. Third, The jury decision to charge Alex Jones with almost $1 billion supposedly proves that the conspiracy theory has been laid to rest. Trust me, it hasn't. That amount of damages, $965 million for Pete's sake, is ridiculous. And the judge could have stopped it. Not only did she not stop, but she, Judge Barbara Bellis, had eliminated the fact-finding part of this defamation trial by making a default judgment against Jones. Had there been a real massacre, here was Jones' chance to present his conspiracy theory and let the other side subpoena witnesses to prove him wrong. Whenever I see a judge acting abnormally, as in the Boston Marathon case, in which I was an amicus curiae, I know he or she has been instructed to ignore the rules. One must ask why. Note that in each of those big three, I use the state's material against the state. Yes, Mary Maxwell and I and a third American citizen were parties in an amicus curiae brief in the case of the Boston Marathon bomber, Zocher Saranov, where we submitted that he cannot have been guilty of the bombing because in the photographs they used to identify him and his brother, Tamerlan, present at the bombing, the backpacks don't match. The police all confirmed in the FBI that it was small, dark, black, compact backpacks, actually with a white square sewn on them, in which the bombs had been held that exploded. But Tamerlan's wearing a real large, baggy backpack. Doesn't look anything like it. Tamerlan's wearing a silver, gray-colored backpack. Not at all the same. John Remington Grammer, retired professor of law, submitted the amicus brief on our behalf, has observed, in essence, if the backpacks don't match, if the packs don't match, you must acquit, right? If the backpacks don't fit, right? Paralleling OJ, if the glove doesn't fit. In that case, however, the not fitting was contrived because OJ was asked to put on a latex glove, which guaranteed that the skin-tight fitting gloves would not fit. He couldn't get them on. I mean, that was a deliberate deception. That was a gambit by Johnny Cochran and the Dream Team to get O.J. off of a murder that I remain convinced he committed in a savage fit, probably high on meth, butchering Ron Goldman and nearly decapitating his former wife. I mean, just disgusting. The lesser 10. Next is my list of 10 things that look laughably off about the Sandy Hook case. Since I have just used the word laughably, you may be worried that it's a sin to laugh at bereaved people. Of course it is a sin. It's cruel. I'm not laughing at bereaved people as I believe that they are not bereaved. If they are bereaved, they should want the state of Connecticut to clear up the big three or at least admit that the iconic photo in number one above is not a picture of children escaping from a school building where a massacre had just taken place. Real bereaved parents could easily understand how citizens deserve an explanation of that and would indeed be eager to resolve it so that folks would not look at them suspiciously. Here are the 10, written by me in my capacity as ordinary citizen, nosy Parker, and lover of the law. 1. The medical examiner gave a press conference in which he described the autopsies in a rather unprofessional way. He, Wayne Carver, M.D., also said, "I hope they, the medical staff, and the people of Newtown don't have it crash on their heads later." Carver died at age 68, which is slightly suspicious in that he can no longer be forced to explain what he meant. I think the plain meaning of the words is what conspiracy theorists think it is. Carver did not like being lured into play acting that day, December 15, 2012, and was embarrassed. I have footage showing that Wayne Carver made a debut at Uvalde in his medical garb, the whole bit. We also have previous reports that he was in Las Vegas gambling and others approached him to talk about Sandy Hook, and he dismissed it as just a drill. It's my impression that that's the locale where he currently hangs his hat. He is not dead. Two, there are audios of the supposed emergency calls made from the school to the local 911. The callers' voices don't sound panicked, and we can't hear any background sounds of panic. Also, a Bushmaster gun is extremely loud and there's no audio of it and no video surveillance whatsoever of the shooting. Not even a picture of the dead gunman on the floor. Would you believe Steven Sadinsky moved to have the 911 call suppressed? I believe it's because some of the callers also played other roles. One has suggested to me Robbie Parker was among the 911 callers and that it wouldn't have fit. Someone could have figured it out. Three, Robert Steele, who died at age 68, was a former CIA man who ran an independent agency called International Tribunal for Natural Justice. I respected him for work in Australia to expose child sex trafficking. He wrote a book about Sandy Hook in which he said, I manage a false flag event for the Central Intelligence Agency in my capacity as a clandestine operations officer stationed overseas. I have personal experience with legalized lying, whereby ostensible orders from the highest authorities mandate lying to the court and lying to the media and the public in support of national security objectives. Individuals ordered to lie offer both full immunity and severe penalties if they fail to lie as ordered. Dear God. Well, this is a Sandy Hook memorandum for President of the United States, Donald Trump. I collaborated with Robert, who is the editor, not the author, of the book. You can also find that out online. Look for Sandy Hook Truth, a memorandum for POTUS, if you can find it. Fourth, the official story is that the bodies of the kids were kept overnight in the school building and parents were never allowed to see their deceased children. I do realize it would be a huge trauma to see a child's face or body blown up. But a mother has such a tight physical relationship to her child that I'm sure she would insist on touching him or her anyway. Six of the victims were adult staff members. I lost my husband 22 years ago. There's no doubt in my mind I needed to be with him to the max, even at the end. You may recall that they tried to keep Jacqueline Kennedy out of the room at Parkland Hospital in 1963, but she wasn't having it. It is absurd. As a parent, had a child of mine been reported to be dead, I would absolutely insist on seeing the body. These were supposed to have been left overnight and removed in the dead of night. How absurd is that? Five. James Fetzer is having to pay $450,000 to Leonard Posner for defaming him by saying that the death certificate he submitted for his son, Noah, age 6, was fake. Well, that's easy enough for a judge or jury to sort out. They would look at the sworn affidavits of the two forensic experts that the defendant hired for examining the documents, and then they would ask Posner to poo-poo those reports as best he could. Or officials from the state's vital records department could weigh in on the authenticity of the certificate. Did not happen. The judge made a summary judgment. Fetzer tried to bring the case to the U.S. Supreme Court, but it did not get the approval for consideration by the required number of judges. Four. End of story. Isn't that awful? You imagine you will have better luck than Fetzer in court? Six. A person in Florida named Lucy Richard was sent to jail for having arrested the family of Leonard Posner. She is old and mentally ill. Would she really do that? I don't think an old lady has that kind of energy, even toward a man who had, say, stolen from her. But Posner had not done anything to her. Did she plead guilty? Yes. But that was part of a plea bargain where you don't get to tell your story. Did the judge ask for the assistance of a guardian? I'm only guessing that such a mental patient had a guardian, bottom line, I think the Lucy story is as fictional as a massacre. I hope she really did not go to jail. Probably she didn't. 7. I have to mention Australia again. In 2015, I put on a play in Adelaide that was mostly about American issues such as 9/11. Theme of the play, Puppetry of the Watermelons. Being self-conscious about my Seppo-ism, Yankee-ness, I thought I should add a skit about a controversial massacre that had occurred locally in 1996 at Port Arthur. The gunman, an obvious patsy, is still in prison, namely Martin Bryant. Having to write the dialogue, I was forced to learn the facts. A photo of Martin had appeared immediately in the newspaper in 1996 and had been doctored to show his eyes popping out. Similarly, the Sandy Hook killer, Adam Lanza, had popped eyes. What reason could the drunk with power media have for doing that, other than to help guide our thoughts to see this fellow as guilty and as a nut job? 8. Speaking of nut jobs, why would the heretofore never violent and never mom-hating Adam Lanza shoot his mother dead? I believe this part of the story was inserted in order to avoid having a mother be interviewed later about her son. I don't mean they killed her. I assume all aspects of the Sandy Hook story are false. The state attorney, Stephen Sadensky, provided a very costly final report in 2013. How did he get out of the problem of describing what was on Adam's computer? He said that Adam appears to have broken the hard drive after killing mom. How did Sadensky get out of reporting all calls Adam had made in December of 2012? He said Adam was known as a non-maker of calls. It's that simple to investigate a non-case. But don't worry. Incriminating things were found in the lad's room. I quote, a Christmas check from the mother to the shooter to purchase a CZ-83 firearm. Photocopied newspaper articles from 1891. Amazing. Pertain to the shooting of school children and images of the shooter holding a handgun to his head. I thought they were unable to open his computer, or did they find this selfie in his non-used cell phone? 9. This one is hard for me to take as a Catholic. Monsignor Wace is a priest of her nearby parochial school, St. Rose of Lima. The news report quoted him as saying he rushed to the scene when he heard of the shootings. I believe it was his duty to attend the 26 deceased people, of which he said 9 were known to him as parishioners. For the adults, he would perform the sacrament known as the last rites if they were wounded and not yet dead. At least one teacher and one child are said to have been shot and survived. The teacher, Natalie Hammond, was a plaintiff in one of the lucrative lawsuits, but interestingly, she dropped out. Monsignor Weiss said he broke the news to the parents that their child had passed. I quote the media, these were not anonymous people. They were part of our life here, Weiss said. This took a toll on me, really took a toll on me, I ask. Do priests lie nowadays? 10. This last item is not a specific claim to the falseness of Sandy Hook. I think the big three above suffice for that. Rather, it is about context. I think by now every American should be at the ready to doubt every mass shooting and every so-called terrorist incident. Surely, surely, these are put in place for the purpose of scaring us and thus making us lose our ability to stand up to tyranny. The Marine hymn says, first to fight for right and freedom and to keep our honor clean. Hello? Is our honor clean? Do we even have any honor left? Is any Marine or anyone else fighting for it? I think we've given up the ghost of our American dream. People are accepting the loss of the rule of law as though it were a done deal. Well, okay, but you're not going to like it when they come for you or when they starve us all out any day now. When I recently wrote an article about Sandy Hook for RumorMillNews.com, I got many letters of thanks for the first time in my almost 40-year writing career. This makes me think folks are catching on. Do me a favor. Gather 2 pals around and read my above article out loud and ask them if they suppose there's a good comeback to it somewhere. Make them think. Don't let them evade with those poor suffering parents' routine. Strive singing this. It's a soldier's song. You can find it on my blog at jameshfetzer.org. Conclude with a signature. Mary Maxwell is author of Keep the Republic, Kill the Takeover, available at lulu.com and Amazon for $15. She can be reached at marymaxwellllb@gmail.com. She is grateful to Raylan Allen for establishing Rumor Mill News and knows that Raylan has taken the heed for being a truther. A comment on my blog. Mary, when I read your remark that Lanza had popped eyes, I had to grimace, as you and we all know. There never was a person named Adam Lanza on site at Sandy Hook or any other location on this planet. He was a totally fictional character of the Sandy Hook scenario. That infamous photo of the whore face of Adam was a computer creation. It really amazes me that a court of law can entertain the so-called actions at a certain location of a person who never existed on this planet or any other planet. Even Fantasyland at Disneyland emerges as more real than that courtroom where Jim Fetzer and others had to suffer days and days of lies and agony over a huge nothing. I saw more acting concerning the recent $965 million award than I ever saw during my days at Paramount Studio in Hollywood when I worked in several films. Does anyone have any idea when the USA will ever get back to reality, if ever? And he added a photograph of Fantasyland from Orlando. One more. Dave Kraft wrote, I'll really pick it up when we come back from this break.
Like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Oh, this is, I was going to mention one more comment by Dave Kraft on my blog. It's pretty insane. We are full of the empire of lies. The idea they would still be selling this story through show trials 10 years after. What does that say? That Sandy Hook is becoming our micro-holocaust. If you don't believe it, you must be a bad person and should be persecuted just like they do in Europe over Holocaust denial. Maybe we could have Sandy Hoax memorials the world over just to remind people forever. Joe Bama came to my hood today to designate Camp Hale, Colorado, a national monument. Gruber, Palumpasas, was there, the rest of the Never Miss a Photo Opportunity crowd. The 10th Mountain Division was trained near here, just a stone's throw north of Leadville. They were instrumental in the Italian leg of World War II. I think they were 100% volunteer close to it. They climbed a mountain in the dark and surprise attacked the artillery placements holding sway over the invasion. Bold and daring. There's a fellow named Sandy Treat who weighed a buck 10 when he reached Camp Hale. Can you imagine carrying a 90-pound pack and heading out at 25 below zero to train at night? Was nothing short of superhuman. When I was in my 20s, a 60-pound pack in the mountains was a backbreaker. That was summer backpacking, not skiing. Well, most of that is less relevant than the initial. 10 years later, we're still having show trials. Are we going to have, you know, Sandy Hook memorials worldwide? I think that's a really quite good and appropriate question. Meanwhile, everyone, you're welcome to call in the number 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. I'm getting some comments on my blog, too, about it, which is, let me see what I pull up here. Again, I say, you're welcome to call with any comments about any of this. Here's another, and this is someone who appears to me to be, you know, wanting to defend the official narrative. Another question I have about the Alex Jones verdict is whether or not birth and death certificates for each child allegedly killed were admitted into evidence. Jones and his legal team never brought up any hoax evidence. Once the family started suing him, Jones blamed a psychosis for calling it fake. Then spent the next several years doing everything he could to delay the trials, eventually saying San Diego was real and apologizing to the parents during the Texas trial. Well, that's a perfectly okay comment. I don't have any problem with that. Bruce is standing by from Texas. Bruce, join the conversation. What's on your mind?
Hello, everyone. This is Robbie Parker.
Yes, yes, Robbie. It's so good to hear from you. Speak.
Yeah, my daughter just got shot in the head. We're making so much money here. Oh, man.
Can you believe a billion bucks for having an opinion?
Yeah, and I got my house for a dollar. How about that one?
I know. It appears they put together this over a number of years. They created synthetic families. They even gave them free housing. All that all appears to be, in fact, the case. And I want you to know I continue to do research to this very day. And everything I found in addition since publishing the book has confirmed what we were reporting there, which is getting 99% accuracy ratings even from participants in the exercise. I mean, it's that stunning, Bruce.
Yeah, you brought up the Port Arthur shooting. And, you know, you also had Breivik over there in Iceland. Those students were they're part of a socialist gathering of some kind. And they're having a flotilla on the lake against the Zionist occupation of Palestine. And they're totally pro-Palestine. And so Breivik blows up the building in Oslo and then makes his way all the way over there to the island with a Ruger 10-22 and massacres all these children that are running through the woods. Like, have you ever tried to shoot cats, you know, and they know you're not cats, but, you know, a little. These are children, these are teenagers running through the woods. He kills them all with a 10-22. And then the helicopter comes down and says, "Breivik, surrender. We know it's you." So how do they know it was him? And how did he do all that all by himself? You know, we have a world. There's a whole organization of killers and terrorists and stuff, and they go by a security specialist and contractors. That's how I see it. Yes. Because how else do you pull all this stuff off? You know.
Yes. Well, why don't you stand by, Bruce, while I bring in Brian from Missouri. Brian, join the conversation.
Yeah, what I wanted to talk about, Jim, was the day that, when they came down with the Sandy Hook award, you know, whatever it was, or the $1 billion. I don't watch a lot of TV, but I had mainstream, you know, Fox News on, and then that was the lead story. So I quick went to CBS, and that's the lead story, $1 billion, ABC, NBC. It was all the lead story. And then what really kind of sent a shiver up and down my spine is I went to PBS, and there's some Jewish lawyer on there saying, oh, there's other of these Sandy Hook deniers out there, and we're so happy with this $1 billion award because now we can, you know, we can mess with them, you know, words to that effect. So I thought, oh God, no. So anyway, and one other thing I just want to point out that I've noticed is, you know, the girl Louisa on Goldfish Report, I can't call into her direct, and I have to try and get on the computer and, you know, message her, and I can't do it. So I was trying to do that, and I thought, well, I'll get on Facebook, see if I can do something that way. And I set up an account on Facebook, but I didn't put up any information on me, no picture, no nothing. And then, like, the next day, I get 10 people that want to Facebook me. And I thought, what the hell is this? I'm a 72-year-old guy living in the hood in Kansas City. What the hell do these people want with me? So I ignore it. And it's like the computer that generates all this fake bullshit kind of got overloaded. So then the next day I get another 10. And then, you know, every day I get all these people trying to Facebook me. And I didn't even have a picture of. So it just tells me how fake everything is. I mean, it's just amazing. So anyway, that's all I had to say.
Well, that's a really good point. In other words, if you have basically a blank page and a bunch of people want to join as your friends on Facebook, they must be doing this as an automated, you know, they got an algorithm, they got a program that's going to do this to infiltrate your site with what are going to be robot spies. I mean, they just want to know what you're doing. So no matter who you are, however skimpy the information, I think that's very telling, Brian. I think, you know, Musk has exposed how Twitter just abounds with bots, phony accounts. And by the way, a good friend of mine who follows Twitter pretty closely tells me Twitter is all abuzz because it's undergoing a purge of conservative or right-leaning participants in anticipation of the midterms. They're doing some tidying up in order to, you know, constrain individuals. That's another reason I like that letter to the editor I read at the start of the show. I mean, that was a nice, concise statement of how the Democrats have blown it on every count. And if we have an election in November, and I'm convinced they're going to do their best effort to postpone it, deny it, forestall it, preclude it, up to and even including a nuclear exchange with Russia, which is a terrible, terrible idea, because Russia is not going to mess around. If Russia has to go to war with the West, it's going to go all out. It's going to go all out. It's going to be titanic, and it's going to be abrupt, and it's going to be brutal, such as, for example, if they set off some of these beneath the ocean nuclear warheads or set up these tsunamis. It could be done off both the east and the west coast of the United States. It could easily be done in the British Channel. It could wipe out England virtually in its totality, the north and the east and the west coast of the U.S. I mean, the Russians could do this effortlessly. There's so much stupidity out there egging on a nuclear war where the Russians don't even have to resort, although those warheads are, in fact, nuclear, certainly not conventional. Paul, join the conversation. Paul.
Okay, Fetzer, pay up. I've just recently been promoted at Vabner and Posner Incorporated. I'm head of collections. I can't wait to get my hands. I can't wait to get my hands on you. I'm gonna get those loose coins out of your pocket. It's the last thing I do.
Paul, by God, that's so appropriate. I get it. I get it, man. Do I ever get it? It's unreal. But I don't have anything like the chump change that Alex Jones has, you know. And my God, I thought going after me for a mill was overwhelming, and going after him for a bill? I mean, give me a break.
You better unretire or get some kind of a part-time job or something, buddy.
Right. You know, when I was young, I was a box boy at a market in South Pasadena. I also worked as a page in the library. I had a paper route. Maybe if I combined those, I could bring in a few extra bucks. What do you think, Bo?
Oh, yeah, sir. I'm sure a paper route would go a long way.
I'll tell you, the Wisconsin State Journal has not only shrunk, but it's almost all advertising. It's almost all full pages of advertising. They've even put a border now on the very front page, an advertising border around the front page. And my wife was reminding me how much the paper costs. I mean, it's over $1,000 a year to have it delivered 6 days a week, because I have to go up to the local Quick Trip to pick up the Sunday paper. But I'm telling you, in terms of content, it's not worth a damn. I mean, every story of any significance is slanted. They're always telling us about the big lies and the false claims and everything else made by any Republican, but especially Donald Trump. I mean, they're telling us what to think, and it's no wonder their subscriptions are falling and they're having to resort to all of this advertising. It's really not worth reading if I didn't have the obligation to follow how they're presenting the stories and to keep tabs, as I do by watching usually the NBC Nightly News, just have a baseline of how it's being, the mainstream is reporting these stories, I'd forgo it.
So, you know, we could do a whole show on my recent experience. I'll just touch upon it with getting on board with this security company I just applied for, and I went through the final process and got my uniform and everything. And I'm not going to name them, but they're a large firm. They're actually worldwide. And I mean, just this area alone, where I'm at the Bay Area, they have over 2,000 guards out at different sites. But I swear to God, this, it's so unreal. all the paperwork that I had to fill out and sign, all these forms, and a lot of it, you wouldn't even believe it, it's unreal. It's a COVID, like, quiz where they were basically, they wanted me, or they wanted anybody, for example, to supposedly be aware of, like, how the virus spreads and how you should sanitize things. And I just, you know, it's a one-page thing on this COVID, like I said, like a test or a quiz, and I think there was, like, 12 questions on it. And I just looked at the guy who, you know, one of these guys that was training me, and I said, look, I'm not going to answer any of these. It's stupid. None of them are true. He's really? Why do you say that? You know, to his credit, you know, he listened to me for about 5 or 10 minutes, you know, and he told me, he said, okay, yeah, go ahead and send me some links, right? But he was vaccinated, and the other guard that was there taking the class with me, he was vaccinated. And as soon as I started telling him about, well, you know, the whole thing was a hoax, they never isolated the virus, the other guard goes, well, my mother died of COVID. And then this instructor guy, he said, oh, yeah, well, my parents died. My dad died of COVID. Blah, blah, blah. And I just, you know, what can you do? I did everything I could to not roll my eyes back and just to be calm, right? Because you know how many times I said, oh, I know somebody, or I know somebody who knows somebody who got it and died. And of course, they don't know anything. I mean, I asked him, I said, well, just out of curiosity, how old was your dad? And he's like, my dad was 93. And I did everything I could. I did everything I could not to laugh, you know, like, oh, yeah, this is 93-year-olds never die. No, of course, he got COVID.
But Paul, did he die of COVID or did he die of the vax? Were they vaccinated?
No, I don't think he said he was vaccinated, but it didn't matter. He was in a nursing home and he supposedly got COVID and he supposedly died. It's like, okay, I mean, this is all the information these people have. And I guess my point being is that, like, people are just, they're brainwashed dummies. You know, the amount of stupid people out there walking around is just unreal. You live in a smaller town. I live in a bigger area. And I don't know what the percentages are, but Jim, I swear to God, 70 to 80% of the people are morons. You know, that's I'm being generous.
It's pretty disturbing. I do think Mary makes a good point when she says after 40 years of writing, this is the first time she's had letters of appreciation. She's had at least 10 letters of people writing to her to thank her for the 13 reasons she thinks Sandy Hook was fake. And remember, this is a woman who began as a believer. She took it for granted that it was real until she began taking a closer look.
So, Jim, if you're not doing anything today between the hours of 3 and 5 Pacific, which I believe would be 5 and 7 Central, on the National Intel Reporter on RBN, I'm probably going to go back on and continue what I started last night. There's these two guys that are filling in named Bill and Ted. And literally, they're just, I mean, with all due respect, I mean, they're human beings, but they're just a couple of hicks. And last night I was listening to the show that they were doing, and I couldn't take it anymore because, first of all, they started talking about all these different mass shootings and how Nicholas Cruz got the sentence that he deserved. And then they started doing all this speculative psychoanalysis about what was wrong with these shooters, you know, where they were molested when they were kids and blah, blah, blah. And I just couldn't take it anymore, so I called in, right? And I ended up doing battle for like 45 minutes. And unlike you, you know, they didn't hang up on me.
Amazing, Paul. That's amazing. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that. This is a former John Stettmuller show. Now, listen, by coincidence, I'm going to be on Tuesday with Michael Deacon on that very program.
Well, here's what you could do if you want to, is just to call in. I mentioned your name as among the many people that had unraveled Sandy Hook, because these two guys, we got into it. They believe Sandy Hook is real. Not only that, I kept going, okay, because you know I can be a little bit aggressive, right?
Yes.
They believe we landed on the moon. Okay?
Yes.
They believe there were Arab hijackers. I mean, it was absurd.
Yes.
I broke down. I called them morons and imbeciles and so forth. They took it pretty well, you know.
Well, if they didn't hang up on you, Paul, I mean, for crying out loud, that's pretty patient of them.
Well, and Mike, the board op, you know, he says, okay, why don't we everybody come back tomorrow on the National Intel and go finish this? I think he had a sense it was good radio, and I think that's when I read the description of the show, I'm pretty sure that was, you know, his thoughts because – you know, what he wrote about it when you go on their archives and you can see little, you know, thumbnails of what the show was.
You might want to make a pitch for my false flag scripted event checklist, you know, which you can download online. Law enforcement false flag / scripted event checklist. Just three pages right. with lots of links, but I mean, it really gives you criteria for evaluating these cases. I'm sure you have it. I'll send it to you. If not, maybe you could get it somehow, pitch it. I'm pretty certain you can download it directly from the internet.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I just basically tried to make the case with these guys because they were asking me, okay, well, they started out with these ridiculous, and you've probably heard these things before. Well, how do you know that nobody died? You know, it's like, were you there? I mean, literally, I had to deal with this. And it's just, you know, it staggers me that some of these people, and they were older gentlemen, you know, they've been around. And
yeah.
In my way of thinking, it's like you live in the same world as I do. You have access to the internet. You haven't put the time in. You haven't looked into any of this. I mean, that's what gets my irritation up with some people. It's like, who am I? I'm just a guy with a computer and a guy with, you know, two eyes and two ears like everybody else. But, you know, like I said, these guys obviously haven't done the work or really looked into anything. And they're just buying as real what they're told to buy, you know? And it's just like, it's one of those things we just sort of have to get used to, even though we don't like it.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. And the fact that they're keeping you on, Paul, I'm very impressed. That's very good. That shows they're open-minded to a greater extent than I have generally encountered from, you know, individuals of those disposition. I mean, I think it's great. Good work.
Well, if you want, I can send you a clip of the show and you can hear it for yourself. And then you might not want to say good work, but you know, it was all in good spirits. Mostly I wasn't too mean spirited, but I basically came with the premise that all grown men should know what I call the three or four basic gateway conspiracies, such as the moon landing, 9/11, the chemtrails, Sandy Hook, right? Those are all, you know, in my opinion, prerequisites for, you know, being on the air and talking about
stuff. What? Look, the fact of the matter is I might actually be able to join to this evening from 5 to 7 or somewhere in there. Why don't you send me a link? Send me the call-in number or whatever, and I mean, I'm glad you mentioned it. I mean, just by sheerest coincidence, I could do this. I could call in and join you on the show.
Yeah,
are they going to have you? Are they going to have you right off the bat?
I don't know. I'm going to double check. But last night when he said, "Okay, let's reconvene this tomorrow. Can all you guys come back and join in? We'll continue." And you know, I just more or less said, "Okay." So I'll maybe find out. I might email Mike the board up or something. But yeah, I figured I might call in and have some more fun. And if you want, you could call in and say, "Hey, this is James Fetzer." And I mean, I don't need to tell you what to say. So,
Paul, yeah, look, I like the idea. Okay, I'm glad you mentioned it. Did you catch? I'm putting together the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference for 2022, and it's going to be broadcast live on the 3rd and the 4th of December, Saturday, Sunday. And I've got,
oh, cool.
12, I'm lining up 12 speakers for each day, and I think it ought to be quite good. I'm very happy with the caliber, including Nick Holerstrom, whom I happened to mention already.
Right, excellent. Yeah, sure.
Brian, are you still here? Bruce, would you like to add any further thoughts?
I'm still here. I just wanted to make one comment. I know we're running out of time. Tulsi Gabbard, you know, I heard everyone all excited about her. And I would like to point out that she's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And,
Brian, you got to understand. You got to understand, a lot of those associations are pro forma, that they aren't significant. She's not a Council on Foreign Relations proponent in terms of the views you would ascribe to her by that association, any more than Vladimir Putin is promoting the World Economic Forum, even though he's supposed to be a member and has spoken at Davos. He's actually been designated by Jacob Rothschild as a primo number one enemy of the New World Order, who's also declared that without Ukraine, the New World Order cannot proceed. So I would not make anything of that. Tulsi has done a terrific thing by rejecting the Democrat Party and encouraging others to follow her lead. I like that.
Well, can I just finish what I think is going on there? Whether, you know, she also was World Economic Forum. And what I think is going on is she's just controlled the opposition. They're going to use her as a presidential candidate in the future as an independent to try and divide the vote with Trump so that, you know, that'll divide the vote, and then their Democrat can take control, and then go, oh, see, Tulsi divided the vote just like Roosevelt did, you know, and put Woodrow Wilson in there with his Blue Moose Party. That's just what I'm thinking. So anyway, I'll let you go.
I mostly concur with Brian. I think that's plausible.
Well,
I'm with you, Jim.
I, of course, disagree with them both. Was that you, Bruce? Are you there?
You hit it the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. These are pro forma appointments. They put their name on the list. They're not up there giving speeches on politics.
Hey,
you know?
Hey, let me say how much I appreciate y'all calling in. Bruce, Brian, Paul, thank you so much. We're coming up against the end of the show today. Let me just, since it's a Friday, encourage everyone to get out and spend more time with their family, their friends, people they love and care about. Yeah, one add 20 seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, call Rivero 3 to 5 Central and tell him that you want to debate him. If you got your email on nanothermite versus me.
We've been working on that, so that's a whole nother matter. But thank you for joining today. Check out Mary Maxwell's piece, jameshfetzer.org. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven, Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence